We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Greg Olson, and I'm thrilled to introduce my new podcast, TE1. TE1 will chronicle a 60-year evolution of the tight end position, from its origins as an obscure, overlooked blocking role to the versatile superstar position that it is today. I'll explore the evolution of the position through conversations with some of the all-time game-changing tight ends. And just like the incredible tight ends we sit down with on my new show, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. This truck is all about grit, strength, and dependability. The same attributes it takes to be a tight end.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world! George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And oh, it's a sad morning night. I mean, it's night for us, but you're hearing this in the morning. That game stunk. That just, it never got going. We never broke out of the gate, whatever it is with horse racing.
First of all, I'm so sick of hearing about the 98 mile an hour horses and horse racing and all that. We never got a chance to see what could have been. We didn't get a chance to see what Davey could do under the bright lights. We were excited to see Garcia get a playoff start, see how many times he could get through the order, see how many innings he could go. And it was all a tease and bringing in Hap. For me, that was the game. Game was over as soon as he comes on the mound.
I mean, we talked about maybe Montgomery coming in after like one time through the order. Didn't see Hap coming at all.
Three or four innings, man. Not after one inning. Like, you burn him, and now there is so much pressure. Now you got to get through eight innings. The whole plan was like so terrible.
Like, we're not deep on arms to be wasting arms. Like, in general, can't waste arms. No, and no arm that can go five innings should go one inning.
It was the dumbest decision I've seen them make in a decade since 2010 when they started Phil Hughes over Andy Pettit in game two of the ALCS. It was the worst decision I've literally seen them make in a decade. I can't believe that Cashman signed off on that and was like, you know what? This is our plan.
They'll get ready for Garcia all day. They'll never be able to hit 83 down the dick from Hap. Like when they showed Hap warming up in the first inning, and I don't, maybe it was Ron Darling said, oh yeah, who knows? You know, if they end up, someone gets on and Choi comes up, maybe they make the move. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why would they take him out so soon? He's a young guy, all this promise. We did the whole Pedro thing for the entire pregame. Like, it was just all the whole Pedro show. And then we go to Hap.
Why
couldn't we just be the better baseball team? Like, let's just go and beat them. Let's just play a baseball game and beat them instead of, like, let's play some trickery. And the trickery was, here's a bad baseball player, and we're going to have him pitch.
I'm laughing because I can't believe it. It was the dumbest. It's embarrassing to lose that way. Like we really thought that we were going to get one over on them, that they wouldn't be prepared for this. The Rays are a notorious fastball hitting team. Hap only throws fastballs that are 91 miles an hour right over the plate. Like they are tailor made to hit this guy. It makes no sense. And it would have been like if Devi had just gotten lit up or something and they would have kind of beaten us. Whatever, but to lose in this fashion, it's really embarrassing. It really is.
I think if you left David Garcia in there for 3 2/3 of an inning, he doesn't give up 5 runs, we would be in better shape.
Dude, that was the difference. So I think Hap's final line, I want to say, was
2.2 innings.
4 or 5?
4 earned runs. 4 runs, yeah. 5 hits, 3 walks, 2 home runs. For a 13.5 ERA.
13, like, if he could have just had a 6 ERA, a 7 ERA, been normally bad, normal bad instead of catastrophically bad, they would have had a shot. And, dude, the 2-out, 2-strike homers. He did this in the regular season. He had one against the Orioles, one against the Mets, and that's just off the top of my head. He gets one strike away, and he just throws batting practice. It's so devastating.
Can't trust the guy with run support. It's just... What the fuck were they thinking?
I can't believe it, man. I really can't. I can't believe that Cashman signed off on this. As smart as he is, as smart as they're supposed to be, and don't get it twisted. This was an organizational decision. Boone is not making.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So don't blame Boone.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to blame Boone. At some point, you're the manager. You're gonna be like, nah, you know what? That's stupid. I'm the baseball guy. That's why I wear the pajamas in the dugout every day. Like, I think there's a certain point where you had to go, like, no, I got to wear this silly-ass uniform. This is dumb.
I don't think Hap is a major league caliber player, much less a guy that should be allowed to be pitching in a playoff game for the New York Yankees. Like, that's how off I think this is. I don't think he should be on the active roster.
Because of our pitching, like, at some point, you may need him. That point... was not the second inning of game 2 in a 1-1 game.
And in 2019, they used him in relief a couple of times in Houston in extra innings. And I get it. You're out of arms. You want to use him.
Exactly.
And like, if that happens in game 4, game 5, we go in extras, fine. But to plan to use him in game 2, it's just getting too cute. And I don't know if they were going to do this same plan if they had lost game 1. But this, you had a chance to step on their throat and you got cute and you didn't use any of the premium relievers, which is the only good thing that came out of tonight is that we have our three horses ready for 3 in a row. But it was just the most arrogant, stupidest plan I've ever seen. One of the worst decisions I've ever seen this organization make, hands down.
You know when Hap should come in to pitch? After someone pitches as bad as Hap did.
Dude, maybe last night when they were up 9-3 in the ninth. Like, maybe there. He would have let up.
Well, that's when I wanted to see Ottavino get some action. Instead... you throw him in there, he'll give up a run for you real quick.
He did. Loaiza did. You can't trust any of them other than the three main guys. Nick Nelson was good and Holder was good, but it's hard for me to judge the guys that are pitching when we're down 3 because it's not the same. It's not the same kind of pressure. It's not the same kind of stakes.
Obviously our black magic is the story of tonight. That was bad. Stanton is just out of his mind right now. It's, you know, we've said it all along. If he can get back and be healthy, like, he's been an MVP. The man has hit 59 home runs before. And he's locked in right now. That second home run is as far as I've seen a ball. I saw they said it was like 458. No shot. No shot. That's the furthest home run ever hit ever in the world.
It seems like Statcast is always wrong with Stanton. He's had a bunch of big bombs. This is the guy that we traded for. He looks like 2017 Stanton. It took 2.5 years to see this, but we're finally getting what we traded for. It's been awesome. I wish somebody else would have gotten some hits.
I mean, Judge another 0-for-5. I was hoping this was that, you know, that 3-for-5, and even, you know, late in the game and say, all right, well, let's come up big here. Show us something.
yeah, you're getting to the point where he's just not having a good postseason. He does have the two homers, but those are his only two hits. I mean, jumping on Cleveland was huge. That two-run homer that he had, nice homer on Monday night in this series, but he's been terrible. And I kind of knew that last at-bat that he wasn't going to come through. I don't know if you were optimistic there, but I did not see him getting a hit or tying the game or anything.
No, it looks like he's pulling off everything. So he doesn't have the confident body language right now. I want to switch him and Voit. Move him back to the four slot. Like Voit, it was DJ and Voit all season. That's what got us here. Take the pressure off Voit a bat and clean up and let him mash in that two hole.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I love that lineup change. We're excited. We're waiting for the game tomorrow, but the wait for football is over and football's back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on all their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Switching Voit and Judge is a good idea. I like it. But if CB Buckner is calling balls 10 inches up or 8 inches off the plate, it's not going to matter. This guy was atrocious.
Garcia's first pitch was almost down the middle, 92 miles an hour ball. I was like, we are in trouble. We are in trouble right away. And then there was, in the top of the first inning, the first pitch to Judge was maybe barely nicked the corner. And you know that he's just going to, if it's that early in the game, that it's just going to grow that strike zone, so you know Judge is fucked right away. They're just, I mean, overall awful umpiring. Like, it's not even a hey, oh, they made this one bad call and that like fucked us. Just did a bad job all the way around.
Absolutely atrocious. This guy should not be allowed to ump. Forget a playoff game. This guy should not be allowed to do the plate in any major league game. If you're missing by 6, 7, 8 inches up, out, in all different directions, low and in, up and away, the guy, every call is just a coin flip with this guy. And he wasn't giving our pitchers the same calls. It's just such a fucking waste of time to watch this guy umpire. And he needs to make it the CB Buckner show. You know, as soon as a guy starts walking up the first base thinking they have a walk, you know, then he does the demonstrative strike call and tells him to come back. Like, he makes everything about him, and it's just exhausting, man. People aren't watching you. They're not.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the game, you see the whole dugout screaming at him too. And there's a little bit of me that worries, like, don't get on these guys' bad side. We've still got a couple games left to go here, and you know, they can be assholes. Yeah, but it's embarrassing. I feel like last season we talked about so much, especially because of like the savages in the box, like how bad umpires were, was one of the storylines of 2019. 2020, I feel like it hasn't been. You have the issue, like Judge has the issue of getting those low calls against him because he's so tall. But overall, I mean, I think one of the stories of the game, aside from how fucking stupid we are with that decision making, is like, this was an embarrassing game for the Umpires Association.
They were terrible, and not just Judge. The 3-1 pitch to Glaber in the ninth, that was the worst call I've ever seen at any level of any baseball, Little League, high school. That was nowhere close, and it was up and away. Usually the ones that are up, you'll always get as a hitter. That's kind of a rule of thumb. Usually if you get fucked as a hitter, it's on the low strike. A ball that's well above the letters, how is that called a strike? It was such a bailout call. Luckily, Glaber walked anyway, but there were at least 10 of those. That's the problem, JJ. It wasn't one or two. It was like 10 or 15.
Oh, yeah. It was the whole game. You knew every inning you were going to be like, what the fuck was that? Now, sometimes it was, a 1-1 count with no one on base and two strikes went to 2-1 or went to 1-2 and it should have been the other way. But sometimes it's 3-1, a foot over the strike zone, strike two with the game on the line.
Yeah, very magnified. And you see with Glasnow, Glasnow's filthy, throws 100 miles an hour. If Buckner's given him 4.5 inches low and away, there's nothing we can do, man. We're fucked. He's hard enough to hit as it is. You give him that advantage, it's almost impossible. And they still scored 4 runs off of him. Like, I was really proud of the way they battled with the adversity, with not only the self-created adversity from Boone, but the adversity from Buckner. They didn't give up. They were in it till the end. And I did think overall the at-bats were still okay.
We fought, and we would turn innings that looked like they were going to be nothing into, maybe Hicks works a walk in the first inning. And, so we start to see more pitches. Like, they were still being patient, even though Glasnow is a guy where it's like you kind of do have to attack him because he's going to attack the strike zone, and he's known for doing that. But, as you look down the box score, you got Judge 0 for 5. You've got Voit 0 for 3. He got a walk. You've got Gary 0 for 4.
Terrible. DJ only had the one hit.
Yeah, DJ only had the one hit. Glaber's 0 for 3 with a walk. Gio's 0 for 3 with a walk. Glaber's 0 for 2 with two walks. So, guys are still kind of, they're getting on base, but we're through Glasnow. There's no excuse for some of these guys to have repeat 0 for games. Let's get some of the way back, and we win.
You're right, and we've kind of spent the first half of this complaining, and obviously it sucks losing, but if you want to look at an optimistic view of this, I think we are in a really good spot overall. We're done with Snell. We're done with Glasnow. Kevin Cash has had to use all of his premium relievers tonight. They all threw at least 25 pitches. We got to the closer a little bit. Fairbanks looked pretty shaken up, and now all of his, his horses, his top relievers, they're not going to be able to go the next 3 days in a row. All of our premium relievers sat tonight, and they can. So you're telling me, we have our relievers rested, and they don't for a 3-game series. I really like where we are with Tanaka tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be up 2-0 with Tanaka having just started than, playing whatever this Magic game is. But if you're going to go up against Glasnow, which is going to be a tough start, and you're going to do one of these stupid tricks anyway, you might as well try it on that. Try your onside kick early. If it doesn't work, now it's, let's go back to ground and pound with Tanaka, with hopefully playoff Tanaka. And, we're facing Charlie Morton, who may go out there and throw, 57 curveballs in a row at us. And we've seen that before. So
yeah, he's not going to be easy by any stretch, but he's not going to be painting at 101 either. The stuff is not as good.
Yeah, he'll mix it up. He gets creative. He's a veteran. He may be, this may be the end for him. I know he's been talking about retiring. He hasn't pitched in 12 days. So he may be really sharp. He may be really out there, but we need to win tomorrow because we're going into Montgomery for game 4.
Montgomery and Davey, I would think, since he'll have a day, he could throw 2 innings after Montgomery, I think would be their plan.
Yeah, so I don't want... If our season comes down to, again, using an opener, in an elimination game, which is essentially what we'd be doing there, that fucking stinks.
It does. It does. Luckily, we should have Cole even with the 3 days rest for a game 5. You win one of these next 2. you get Cole again. That's yes. our path.
And but our best chance to win it is winning tomorrow. I don't want it to come down to Thursday night. I'd rather it come down to Friday night. I don't want to have to win Thursday.
No, me too. I totally agree with you, but you know, this was the Rays, the best pitching matchup that they were going to have, their biggest advantage. This was the day that they're going to have the best odds from Vegas. They were favored tonight. We were favored in game one, and look, we both kind of held serve. We won the game we were supposed to win. They kind of won the game that they were supposed to win, and we'll be favored tonight for game three, and I think Mas is going to go out, and he's going to be solid. I think they're going to score 5, 6, 7 runs again. As long as Masa doesn't completely blow up, you have the three relievers available. I'm pretty confident, man. I really am.
And we're in the pinstripes.
Yes. And can we talk about the music that they do? They do the purge music.
Yeah.
When that is just fucking weird.
Is
like,
that what why? That is? It's the sound from the purge? For some reason, I thought it was War of the Worlds.
Dude, yeah, it's the purge. Like, you picked a horror movie as your. It's just like a creepy thing to hear over and over again. I was so sick of that.
I could see it being a cool sound to use if you had, like, you know, the entire crowd also making like a noise, like kind of, you know, get it on top of you. But there's no fans now, and there's no fans for them ever. So, you know, this would have been, if this was played at the Trop, it'd be 80% Yankee fans anyway. So
right, not like it would have even been an advantage, but I was happy. I look for, you know, in losses, I look for little things that kind of go our way. I was happy that all of their relievers threw 25 pitches and up, and I was happy that we didn't use any of our top guys. I mean, imagine if we would have lost and used Green.
Oh yeah, like
think about how fucked we'd be.
Yeah, like if it was like a blown save situation.
Yes,
and like we still, you know, like you said, we battled. We still found 5 runs.
Yeah.
We got 4 off Glasnow. It only gets easier from here. We just have to go out, control the at-bats, and scrape together some runs early tomorrow, because if we can get some early runs, first, second inning runs, Tanaka can hit cruise control, get to the 6th inning, and, you know, get up 2-1. And then I'm excited for Montgomery on Thursday.
Exactly, and the strike zone can't be any worse tonight. There's no way it could be any worse. Like, this was the worst. This was rock bottom.
It was the worst strike zone. It was the biggest disadvantage from a starting standpoint. Some of our guys had the worst possible game you can have. You know, a big offer. So now, you know, it's only going to get better from here. That's what we'll tell ourselves so we can sleep tonight.
Yeah, no, it is. They're going to win. They're going to win tonight, Wednesday night. I'm going to sleep like a baby, very confident going into game three. I did not think that game two was a game that we had to win like I thought of game one, and I'm being dead serious there.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So, and
we're not jumping off bridges tonight.
No, we're not. No, not at all. We're angry with the decision making. Garcia said, like, hey, they just told me it was going to be a short start. But he said he could probably be ready to pitch tomorrow or Thursday. So I would imagine Thursday we may see him doing something. But we'll just be back tomorrow. All we can do is just keep watching, keep seeing what's going on.
It's a powerless feeling. That is all we can do.
That's all we can do, is just try to get through the day. Just go for walks. I go for a walk just after 5 o'clock for like an hour now. I take my daughter and I just put her in a stroller and I do a lap in the neighborhood, come back, eat dinner, pace a little bit, FaceTime someone awkwardly, like just about anything else. And then eventually my wife's like, so you're nervous about the game, huh? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have a Sunday.
A lot of food. One more positive. We only have to pace around till 7 now and not 8. So that's good.
Yeah, that's really good, because we're getting into the home stretch. I tweeted today, I haven't drank coffee since Sunday. And I haven't been a big coffee drinker until like recently. I've never had more than 1 cup, but I used to only have like 4 cups a year. Now I'll have like a couple a week. I haven't had coffee so that for the tail end of this week, when I really needed to be on it, I could drink a bunch of cold brew and it'd be like doing cocaine.
Tolerance is down. I hear you.
Yeah. So listen, hey, follow Nick on Twitter
at NKirbyNYY.
Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. Listen, we won yesterday. We lost today. will win tonight, depending on when you're listening to this. I'm throwing timelines all over the place. But we're going to rebound. We've got Tanaka on the mound. Then we advance, kick the shit out of the Astros, go on, win the World Series. We'll see you at the parade.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.